Good evening. This is Congressman Bob Filner, live and in person. I happen to be in Washington, D.C. right now, but from the miracle of our town hall forum technology, I can be talking to thousands of people right now and can listen, and you can join in the conversation at any time by pressing star 3 on your keypad, and you'll be connected to be put in line to talk to me. So nice to have you all this evening. As you know, we're in session probably till Thanksgiving and maybe even Christmas until we deal with the so-called health care reform bill. I think this is something we must do as a nation. We have 50 million people uninsured in our nation, which costs us all money because they end up in emergency rooms, which we end up paying for. So I think it saves a lot of money if people are insured and can stay healthy rather than just go to emergency room when things get serious enough. In addition, I think all of you know that insurance companies get away with murder. They can cut you off at any time. They could put caps on the amount of out-of-pocket insurance claims that you can submit. They can refuse to take you if you have what's called a pre-existing condition. So things have got to change, both in terms of reforms of the insurance company themselves and accessibility to the whole population. And that's what I'm looking for in any health care bill that we vote on, that it expands our coverage, it provides choice of doctor, hospital, insurance company, and that the insurance companies have to live by a whole new set of regulations so they cannot treat people who really need treatment. So they cannot just dump them if they really need treatment. So that's what I'm looking for in a health care bill. Let me just add one thing before we open it up for questions. I'm honored to be the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. That makes me responsible for making sure we fulfill our contract to our nation's veterans, 25 million of them right now. We just added a very incredible new program for those who have been fighting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's called the GI Bill for the 21st century. Many of you know the GI Bill was originally passed at the end of World War II and gave basically free college education and ways to buy a house for, turned out, 8 million veterans. They created the middle class of America after World War II. I'm here probably because of that GI Bill. My dad came back from Europe, got some education, and was able to buy us a house for the first time in our lives. So we wanted to do the same for the those who are fighting this these wars on our behalf. We have a GI Bill which not only gives active duty troops basically the full cost of going to college plus living expenses plus a grant to buy books, but also is open for the first time in our country's history to the National Guard and Reserve units who have been doing active duty fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. That bill went into effect this current school term that just started, and we've had over 250,000 of our young men and women enroll in college or a vocational program under this new bill. So we're very proud of that, and we're going to keep make sure we honor not only our newer veterans, but those who have served from World War II up to the present day. I'll be open for calls. Tony is my screener.
Bob, we have our first call. It's Anna from Chula Vista.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Congressman Filner?
Good.
I'm a senior citizen, and I, along with quite a few other senior citizens that try to band together and be of aid to each other, we're all pretty concerned that the senior program is number one. We don't get an increase in Social Security. We may get $250, which is not going to have much of an effect. I think you need to realize that most senior citizens, their major source of income beyond Social Security is interest rate, and you need to invest that wisely and protect your principal, which means you're getting less than 2% payback on it. And it is making it very difficult for senior citizens to...
I'm sorry, so what would you like us to do, ma'am? Did we lose that call, Tony?
Yes, Bob, we were disconnected.
Okay, if Anna gets back on, I wasn't sure what her question was. Certainly what she says is absolutely correct, that seniors who live on Social Security need to have that protected, and we intend to do that as a nation. We intend to make sure Social Security is there. We intend to make Medicare there. By the way, anybody who's concerned about whatever we pass as a new health care program will not affect anybody on Medicare at all. That is, they will continue to have the same choices of doctors and hospitals that they have now, and the payment will be made by our federal government because people have contributed Medicare premiums their whole working life. So if Anna gets back on, we'll take it. Another question, Tony?
Yes, Bob. We have Bill from Bonita.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Congressman Felder. I think that part of the problem with the healthcare system is that emergency rooms are used by people because they can't get to their doctor or some non-life-threatening emergency, and that emergency rooms should be protected by a triage system to where they send people home who have a cold or some other simple ailment because they can't get to see their physician,
right,
rather than use a very expensive emergency room system to get care.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense, Bill, and I think the hospitals want to do that. They get forced into a situation where they have to, admit people, and because of the economic pressures on them, in terms of people who are there that may not be insured, they like to get the money from those who are insured. So they would continue to process those people as an economic means, I think. So under a good health care reform bill, if everybody is insured, then they don't have to worry about that kind of economic pressure and do the kind of triage that you suggested based on common sense and, you know, good practice. Thanks, Bill.
Bob, we have Daryl from El Centro.
Hi, Daryl.
Yes, hello, Mr. Felder.
Your question, how are you?
Fine. I'm curious why we need these 50 million people, or they say 50 million people, to have Medicare insurance, or whatever you want to call it, when they can go to any hospital and get taken care of at any time. As you probably know, since you've been our congressman down in the Imperial Valley, we're loaded with a jillion illegals down here. We're probably about 85% Hispanic. And if you have to go to the hospital for help, you go over there, and it is absolutely, if one of their kids sniffles, they take them to the emergency room. Doesn't cost them.
Well, I understand, and that's a big problem, Daryl, that it may not cost the person coming, but it costs all of us in our taxes and in our the way we support those hospitals. So it would be cheaper in the long run if people had insurance, then they wouldn't have to go to the emergency room.
Which is okay.
A little thing, they could be going to a regular doctor knowing that they were insured, and it would be far easier than to control the whole undocumented problem. Also, if every American citizen had health insurance, then you know who is a citizen. Tony, next.
Okay, Bob, we have I believe it's Rizwan from Chula Vista.
Hello.
Hi, did we pronounce your name right?
You did.
Okay, how are
you? Well, I really liked what you said when you first came on, but what I was wondering is why is there not a push for true socialized health care like in France or Canada? Because I would really like to see that.
Well, I think I favor personally what we call a single-payer system. That is, the middlemen of the insurance companies are really not needed. If you had a program, let's call it Medicare for All, you could, you wouldn't need the private insurance companies. But I don't think the American people want a, what we would call a socialized system. That is, doctors all on a payroll with little choice. Medicare and hopefully the public option that we have in a new health care reform bill leaves the private system operating. You have total choice, and of those doctors and hospitals, it's, and you have total choice, but you also have a system where the because you pay premiums all your life, the government, which is really just all of us working together, would pay the bill. So a Medicare for All, I think, is the kind of system that Americans can support and would favor. By the way, if you just press star 3 on your and your telephone dial pad, you can get hold of us and get put on the list to answer, ask me a question. This is Congressman Bob Filner with our teleforum. Who's next, Tony?
Bob, we have Antonio in Imperial.
Hello, Antonio.
Hello. Congressman, as you know, we have the highest unemployment rate and pretty much are always getting featured with the New York Times, the LA Times, doing all these great pieces on there's a high poverty rate, unemployment here. My question to you is, in regards to industries, you know, we have a new administration, an administration that I supported, an administration that you support. When can we start seeing change? I know it takes time, but we need jobs here in the Imperial Valley, and
right,
that's basically my question, because there's no industries here. And we
right,
just keep more and more jobs are being lost every day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just want to tell all anybody who's listening that I represent two counties, the southern part of San Diego County and all of Imperial County. And Imperial County, unfortunately, has probably, as Antonio said, the highest unemployment rate in the nation. And the so-called stimulus package that we passed, which has not kicked in for the majority of its programs, had a heavy, heavy emphasis on support of alternative energy jobs and industries and programs. That is, we in Southern California, whether it's Imperial, San Diego counties, are the perfect place for the alternative energy capital of the world, really, because we have sun, we have there's wind places, there's thermal out in there's geothermal out in Imperial County. We can do it all. And most of the stimulus package that was aimed at helping those jobs and industries have not yet been dispersed. They're just starting that now. I have started a committee in both San Diego and in Imperial County called Project Sol. Sol, of course, being Spanish for sun, but I have a sharing our light. That is, to get all of the all the levels of government, whether we're talking about local or county or state or federal, on the same page with the industry, with other stakeholders, to make sure that all the policies of our counties are to incentivize these alternative energy jobs. We call it the green economy, and we should be the center of it, and we're going to it's going to be starting right away now and continuing for most of next year, where all the stimulus money will go to that. And I think you'll see a whole lot of that money coming into San Diego and Imperial counties.
Bob, we have Patricia and Chula Vista on the line.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello, hello. I think you have already answered my question, and I probably should have known that what your answer would be, but I am very concerned about the fact that we need to have a public entity, a public part of the health insurance reform. I'm a long-term type 1 diabetic, and there's no way that if I lose the insurance that I have now that I would be acceptable to a private personal insurance.
Right. I mean, you're sort of the poster child for why we need insurance reform, because you would have a pre-existing condition that no insurance company would take.
That's true.
So that Patricia's case is exactly why we need a so-called public option, where you can have a choice of various plans that the federal government will be subsidizing or sponsoring, that will still have complete choice of doctor and hospital, et cetera, but it will be a set of plans that the federal government is going to be making sure that you have guaranteed coverage. There's no way that the public plan can reject you for anything. So, Patricia, you're absolutely right, and I hope that you can continue to be covered by your insurance policy, but if not, we need a public option to make sure that you do get the coverage that you need. I just want to remind everybody that if they press *3 on their telephone keypad, they'll be connected to us to be able to answer questions. Our next caller,
we have Ralph calling in from Holtville.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Congressman Filner.
The carrot capital of the world.
Carrot capital of the world has moved to Bakersfield, Kern County.
Okay.
We're just a winter grower to supply their needs, but I appreciate the compliment. Hey, you know, we do have a great resource with our water right here, and it supports a stable farm economy in the face of high unemployment in Imperial Valley. At least we still do have a viable farm economy. You know that Nevada and other areas are coveting our water. What are you doing to protect our water rights?
Well, you're absolutely correct, Ralph. The employment base of Imperial is still agriculture. Since, in fact, the so-called law of the river guarantees first claim on that water for Imperial County agriculture, and we will fight to the end to make sure that those do not change. Those water rights do not change. As somebody said in a different with a different subject, they'll have to take those water rights from my cold dead hands before we allow that to happen. So. Virtually, I don't think there'll be an attempt to change that law of the river, and we'll be doing everything we can to protect it. Don't forget to press *3 to get hold to call into me.
Bob, we have Carol on the line from Chula Vista.
Hi, Carol.
Mr. Fuller, hi. I have a question. We have a family business in Chula Vista, or South San Diego, employing just under 100 employees, manufacturing. We have many challenges because we're competing with the offshore businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We make gear for our local military law enforcement all around the world. My question is regarding health insurance. We have a health insurance package we offer employees. We recently had to shut down another state location, and the employees there went out on COBRA, which is great that they have that option. However, I've just found out that because of the federal subsidy program, as the ex-employer, we have to pay 65% of their COBRA premium. They pay 35% plus the 2% fee. And I understand that there's supposed to be a tax credit at the end of the year for us. However, having to carry the burden of 65% of health insurance for employees who are no longer employed by us,
right,
contributing in anywhere, is quite a burden for a small business.
Yeah. Let me first, by the way, thank you for your you know, it's a big risk and a big undertaking to have a business, and small businesses
are. We're 9 years
old,
so I'm very proud.
Right, and you're the base of all our employment. I mean, something like 85% of our employees in America are employed in small business. So we have to do everything we can to protect them. In my understanding, Carol, of the proposals around health care, since everybody will be guaranteed insurance, there won't be any need for the COBRA. And won't be any need for your subsidy in that. I don't know if it's a year or a little more. I don't remember right now. But since everybody will have access to it, The COBRA plan was to allow people a transition from, from the time that they were working for you till they get another insurance plan. They won't need that anymore. So that cost should not be a part of your calculation if health care reform passes in the next couple months.
Okay, Bob, we have Luis on the phone from Chula Vista.
Hi, Luis.
Just wanted to, first of all, thank you for doing this, and it's great to hear what's going on in D.C. when, there's so much crisis, I guess, happening here,
yeah.
happening in Chula Vista. I think you answered the question about the public option. I really am glad that you're supporting the public option because I think it will foster competition, and that will help everyone.
Right. By the way, before you continue, Luis, I don't mean to interrupt except to say that the competition or the lack of competition is at the heart of our increasing insurance premiums that we all face. In virtually every market in America, there's only one, at the most two, big companies that control the whole market. So there is no competition.
Right.
And that's what the role of the public plan will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Luis. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So, yeah, that's why I think the public option is good, and I think
right.
that's really smart to do it that way. Secondly, there was talk about job losses, and I'm facing a foreclosure in my home. I found that the Obama program, because it was worked through the banks, has been really non-helpful. I've been trying to work with my bank for the last 8 months or so without any success. But so there's that. And then I am trying to make my career transition to the green economy because I know that's going to be that's a future, and I have a lot of interest in it. So I like to I want to know a little bit more about Project Soul and maybe how that can be, what the components might be involved for small mm-hmm. businesses.
Well, we want to make sure through Project Soul that, again, all the levels of government are on the same page in terms of what does the federal government have to do? What does the local college have to do? What does the city council have to do in terms of zoning? The local colleges, Luis, will be having programs, especially in the community colleges, to train for solar technicians, for example. There's programs starting right now at some of the colleges. So there will be opportunities both for education and for small business to get started in the green economy, and hopefully that will open up job opportunities for many thousands of people. Your experience with the home foreclosure is one that I hear from literally hundreds, if not thousands, of my constituents. Luis, you're perfectly right. The banks who have been given hundreds of billions of dollars by this government, that is your taxes, are not helping people solve their problems. If you're still trying to deal with your bank, Luis, by the way, please call my office on tomorrow morning at 422-5963. I would like to try to help you work with your bank and get some help from the top of whichever bank you have. But the basic flaw in the system that this administration has fostered, and which I've had problems with from the beginning, is that we gave all this money to the big banks, the Wells Fargos, the Bank of America, and they've been purchasing other banks and swapping things with each other, but they haven't helped local communities. And the local banks and credit unions, for example, were not given any of this money to go out and help the local community. That's where the money should have gone, not to the big banks, but to the smaller community banks. I think then we would have seen much more of a help to the homeowner. But we're trying to correct that in the next round, as we say, of the whatever we do. But, Luis, if you or any other people are having problems with the foreclosures, we can, one, refer you to some people who can help, and I can get on the phone with you to try to make sure that those banks do respond. We have, as I said, and you have given them hundreds of billions of dollars, and they ought to be helping people stay in their homes. Don't forget to press *3 on your keypad to talk to Congressman Bob Filner.
Okay, Bob, we have John in El Centro on the line.
Hey, John. What's the temperature out there today?
Actually, it's not bad. It's like about 78 degrees right now, so it's not bad.
Sounds good. Okay.
My question is this. Is Medicare currently... you had made a comment earlier that Medicare for all. So it seems to me, rather than trying to create an entirely new solution, why doesn't the government focus on taking an existing infrastructure that's invested in, that's in place, that's providing for our country right now? Why not invest in it and fix it and demonstrate to the taxpayers that the government can take an existing plan that they worked on and make it work and function well rather than creating a whole new system?
Right.
And then the second question I have is, my understanding is that with this bill that I will be personally taxed about 40% on the premiums that my current employer is paying. So my concern is somebody middle-class America out working hard, I'm going to now be taxed additional dollars.
Under the so-called, Cadillac plan tax, is it?
Yeah, just an additional tax for because of course we got to pay for it, and it has been brought up that if anybody ends up in an ER today, we treat them whether they can pay or not pay. So in a sense, Americans do have access to healthcare today, but really the focus is why not fix something that's already in place rather than create something new and demonstrate that the government can competently solve some of these issues before it goes in and.
Right.
Into something that potentially could cost Americans a lot of money.
Right. John, in fact, this is exactly what I told the congressional leadership a few months ago, build on the Medicare system. You know, there's some fixes after made, and then you can begin to enlarge it. By the way, any, quote, public option that comes out of any bill is going to be roughly what you have suggested. It'll be roughly a Medicare plan that is, you will have a choice of doctors and hospitals, just like Medicare does now. And based on whether you can, based on your income, there'll be government subsidies to purchase the insurance. So you basically the public plan will mean Medicare, a Medicare Plus program. And you're by the way, I there's been talk about taxing those employer-provided health benefits, but I don't think the final package is going to include that, John. A lot of people have good plans through their employer. Some have through their union affiliation. Those people who have worked for very hard to get, either as part of, say, a union contract or something that an employer wants to do for his employees. We are not going to tax that. I don't think I know there's been talk about it and there's fear around, but I think there will be no such taxation plan in the final bill that we passed. And other questions, just press *3 and get hold of Congressman Bob Filner. Tony, you're on.
Sir, we have Janice calling from Chula Vista.
Janice, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My question is in pertaining to the predatory lending within the East Lake community. I know of several homeowners, including myself. I've owned my home for over 13 years. However, at the time that I was also given one of these subprimes, I had already been in my home over 9 years. My husband and I had excellent credit at the time and never heard of this a particular kind of loan, which we all know is the reason for the crash with the economy. But my question is, I know for a fact of some of these people that have been going around here still, with these claiming that they can help you get out of these bad loans, and they have been ripping people off. Literally leaving people, telling them not to pay their mortgage, so forth and so on. And my question is, You know, there's no more commercials going on or anything like that. You know, it's not the big number one news story anymore. It's kind of fading into the black. And I'd like to know what is being done to help people like myself who should have never been given one of these in the first place, let alone now that we're in need of help. You know,
right.
We're not necessarily getting the kind of information that we need, or we're being led bogusly with people who are asking for upfront monies and then disappearing. And I know several people that live in the East Lake community this has happened to.
Well, I mean, in a broader way, you know, we should be warning people in very public ways with public service announcements and things like that. So I'm going to try to convince people to start doing that. But if you have a particular issue, I mean, you know, or particular people have been ripped off in this way, or there's some company or advertisement that's going around, please get that to our office right away. We will get the necessary investigative apparatus to take these guys down. I mean, you know, they're, as you say, they're just living off the, they're parasites who live off the misfortune of other people, and we need to stop them. If you give us that information at our office, 422-5963, we will make sure the right authorities get that and can get them where they belong, which is behind bars. Don't forget to press *3, and you can talk to Congressman Bob Filner.
Bob, we have Nancy on the line from Chula Vista.
Nancy, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to thank you for doing this because it's something that I think all Congress people should do. And my question is, over the years I've watched the Republicans stand shoulder to shoulder on any issue, and the Democrats don't seem to do that. And what do we have to do to get them united so that they stand up for all the issues that we've all voted you in for?
Yeah. Oh, and you're expressing a frustration that I do every day here in Washington. The Republicans seem to be unified, and they're very a homogeneous group in general. And the Democrats are far more diverse. We represent a far more diverse communities, and we're not the type of people that just fall into line easily like apparently the Republicans do. So there's sort of a built-in problem about discipline. But we got to do a better job. We got to pass this health care reform bill, for example. And I think the citizenry can't just sit back and watch and hope that that takes place. You know, the people who are very excited that Obama was elected and there was a majority in both houses of Congress to support him, I think can't just say, well, he's going to do the job and Congress is going to do the job. You got to continue action, local action, and that means, you know, calling and writing Congress people. It means getting on talk shows. It means writing letters to the editor. It means talking to people in your PTA, in your church group, in your union, in your employment, and get them informed and make sure that your voice is heard here on the Capitol. There's lots of ways to do that. You can call, fax, email, and believe me, when you get a lot of that kind of reaction, if people in every district, whether Republican or Democrat, was calling their congressman and said, we want a public option, we would have that within a short amount of time. So stay active, stay informed, and hopefully the discipline that you asked for will come.
Bob, we have Alfred on the line from Calexico.
Hello,
Alfred,
Mr.
How are you? Yeah.
My question, you know, would be, you know, let's say the a proposed, you know, health care program is passed. You know, the accessibility, you know, for people seeking medical attention. Today I was watching in the news, you know, with this H1N1 situation, you know, people are being turned away, you know, and this was in Los Angeles, by the way. But you know, this is a critical time with this situation with the swine flu. You know, are we really prepared to handle situations like this? And you know, when you know, we're going to really crowd. How would I say our doctor's office? If you have an appointment, you know, chances are that you know, your appointment won't if you call, it won't be for like 2 months. And, you know, it's something to, I don't know, think about.
Yeah, it's a big problem. By the way, the problem with the flu vaccine right now, the H1N1, is that there's just not enough of it. It's not that people are, you know, have to line up at offices. And that will be corrected within about 30 days. That is, the amount of flu that vaccine that's available will be much more available in the weeks to come. So watch that, because it's important that, you know, you protect especially your children. And if you're in an occupation where you come into contact with a lot of people, you got to get that vaccine. But you're talking about a big problem. In some respects, by the way, Alfred, a good healthcare reform bill will help that, because we got lots of doctors and leaving the profession because they're not being reimbursed properly through the insurance companies. Too many people are uninsured, so they can't economically run their practice. In addition, hospitals like the one in Calexico, which you know, has closed down because people are uninsured. So once you have everybody insured, you have the economic base for people to continue in their profession. But it's a bigger problem than just that. Family practice doctors are rare everywhere. We've got to, as a nation, decide how to do that, whether it's incentives for medical school or pay student loans for people who go to areas where there's not sufficient doctors. That's a problem that sort of is above and beyond anything we do in healthcare reform, and we have to face it as a nation. You're absolutely right. Don't forget to press *3 if you want to talk to Congressman Bob Filner. And, Tony, we're ready for another caller.
Bob, we have Joe on from Chula Vista.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mr. Filner, how are you? I want to start off by thanking specifically the efforts of people like you and Peter DeFazio and Bernie Sanders and Barney Frank. Every time I get frustrated watching what's going on, I hear your voices, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
But important, more importantly, I want to know, how did the vote count go today? Did that occur? Ms. Pelosi was going to...
Yeah, I'm not sure. They were They were getting a reading on how people were thinking about the, you know, some proposals, but I haven't heard what their count was, frankly.
And also, I was wondering, is there any, obviously you guys work with the Senate on these closely, and I was wondering if there were any proposals or any thoughts to, are you guys thinking at all about splitting this up and doing a regulation that could easily pass, and then a health care bill, you know, in a different way, or maybe some reconciliation, or had anyone...
Yeah, I mean, all those tactical considerations...
I know we're not there yet, but...
I know the leaderships of both the houses do end up doing. I think we're going to get there. The House is going to pass a bill... I think with what we call a robust health, robust public option in the next, two or three weeks. The Senate will pass a version on roughly the same time, and then it'll take whatever time in what we call a conference committee between the House and the Senate to reconcile their two versions. And that may not come till Thanksgiving or even Christmas. I hope it's faster than that. But, I think there will be a consensus, certainly with the Democrats, who were elected with a majority to do this kind of thing. And if the Republicans just say no, 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 as they are doing right now, we'll have to move without them. We were trying to work with both parties, but all we had was no, no, no. So I think the Democrats will achieve a consensus to get a decent plan passed that most of the country will, I think, benefit from. And we try to make it better in the years ahead. *3 to talk to Bob Filner.
Bob, we have Bonnie from Hukumba on the line.
Hukumba, how are you?
Hi, good evening. My question is, I'm a retired individual, but not old enough for Medicare. So I purchased my own medical insurance. It's right. Quite expensive, about $500 a month.
Please enter your ID code now.
I'm not sure what that was, Bonnie,
but
go ahead.
Would you like to tea with that governor?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either. So my real question is, how will the new health care reform affect us who are purchasing these high-cost insurance?
Well, we are hopeful And all the research shows that if there is more competition, and the only way you get that is with a public option, as we call it, that is a choice. If you want a plan different than what the private companies offer, you'll have a choice of several plans in a public option. Theoretically, and hopefully, and I think what will happen in practice is your cost should go down because there's more competition. You'll be able to choose another plan, for example, that has the exact same benefits for cheaper price, unless that company, your own company now, brings down their price. So they're going to have to think about price in relation to competition, which virtually no company has to worry about now. They just decide what the market will bear. And as I said, they can cut you off at any time. And so if you were cut off because you were using your insurance too much or you had some illness or surgery that they didn't want to pay that much for and cut you off, then you can be insured through the public exchange, as they'll call it, that where you can have a choice of various options. So it should help virtually everyone in your position both to bring down the cost of your current insurance because they know that you will have other options to choose from.
Bob, we have Rose on the line from Brawley.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Mr. Fieldner. I have a question for you, and it's in regards to consumer rights. It just seems to me that our rights have been diminished throughout the years, and especially credit card interest rate hikes on the middle or the middle class. I consider myself a middle class with excellent credit about 3 years ago, and I started recognizing that the credit card companies were deciding to just out of nowhere, well, now I know why, raise their interest rates and hoping that, of course, we would pay that. I chose to close all my credit cards, and I'm finding that my credit score is dropping and dropping and dropping quite a bit because it's a catch-22 because
right.
They cut my limit, then they cut, the fact that I closed the account, even though I pay more than minimum, even though I had excellent credit, meaning very close to 800, if not over. Now I'm below that. I'm lower than 7. And, I think this little time that you had in April in Congress, just a slap on the hands or the wrist with the credit card companies, really wasn't enough. And that's just one example of my consumer concern. Another example is because my husband works for the state of California, has been cut with these furloughs. We had to make some choices of where to cut our bills. And I went to my cell phone company, and they said, sorry, ma'am, you cannot cut any of your phones because you will own a $175 fee plus the rest of the contract. These contracts are arbitrating. I mean, we don't read them. We don't realize how the consumers are really not aware of these companies that have a hold on us. And I'm wondering what can Congress do for us? Because here's a really close to heart another example that happened today. My son lives in Boston. By the way, you met him, so thank you very much. He is going to MIT. He decides to buy a pamphlet for $2, used his ATM card, without realizing that he by doing this, went and purchased some kind of agreement with a supplement company that decided to send more products to him and started charging him within 3 weeks over $300 worth of product. He did not realize that he was being charged this.
Right. By the way, some of this stuff, like that one, which sounds so blatant, if he gets in touch with the city attorney in his Boston, they have a consumer fraud division that will help him, I think. But you have a bigger problem, and we got into this whole mess because of lax regulation of the financial industry, including credit cards. And as you pointed out, we did have some modest reform and some checks on the ability to set interest rates. But I will tell you, right after assuming we can get the economy halted from a free fall, which I think we have done, as soon as we can get the health care bill passed, We are going heavily into the consumer protection arena, especially the credit cards, especially, you know, the fine print, especially the lack of ability to change things. You will see some very, very intense legislation. Now, don't forget, these guys have a lot of power, both in both parties. Their campaign contributions go to people who will support them. So it's not going to it's not going to be as easy as it might sound because of the special interests. But if the country demands these kind of changes, and Rose, you were very very articulate in how you phrased it, and make sure the Imperial Valley Press gets letters from you, and you know, the president and the senators from California get letters about this. But we are going to heavily move into this area as soon as these emergencies that we've been dealing with the last few months are taken care of. I don't know. We've been on for an hour. Do we have time for any more callers, Tony?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have Ann on the line from calling in from Chula
Vista. One more call. And it's been a pleasure talking to you all. I appreciated the town hall forum with Congressman Bob Filner. Anna, you're on.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
All righty. I have a question for you about Social Security. The week before last, I got a message from ARP about our Social Security no raise this coming year. And they said to contact our senators and to contact you. Lo and behold, this week I get an answer from you, and thank you so much for listening. Now, what is going to happen to us, especially the seniors, if we don't get these raises?
Right. I know how people, 80% of seniors, I think, are completely dependent on their Social Security check. And each year since Social Security, there's been a formula we're dealing with cost of living raises that depends on the inflation rate of things in the society. For example, last year there was a close to a 6% inflation rate, so Social Security recipients got a 6% higher check. Turns out because of our recession and because of the economic difficulties, we've had basically zero inflation in the formula they use, although we look around and healthcare and other things have gone up. So by the formula, Social Security should not get a cost of living adjustment. The president and the Congress, however, say that in this year, which is tough for everybody and healthcare still going up, that there will be a, we're going to try to do a $250 one-time check to make up for the lack of a COLA. That's not a lot, but it's better than even that's going to cost $15-16 billion. So we will do something. We're not doing enough. I think we have to look at that whole formula to deal. And since a lot of the costs that seniors face happens to be in healthcare, the healthcare reform bill is really important in terms of cost of living. If we bring down that cost of insurance, if we bring down the cost of pharmaceuticals, we're bringing down the cost of healthcare in general, the Social Security check should go a lot further. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you all. Well, I have, in fact, I'm told that we have two more calls that we're going to take before I say goodnight. Who's next, Tony? Tony, who's next?
Bob, we have Dave calling from Chula Vista.
Hi, Dave.
Yes, good evening, Congressman. How are you doing tonight? Hello?
I'm here, Dave. Go ahead.
Yes. The medical malpractice insurance is a huge cost for doctors and hospitals. When is tort reform and controls on medical lawsuits going to be addressed in Congress?
Well, we hope to address it a little bit in this bill. The exact impact and how you deal with that is there's no real consensus about, because you don't want people practicing medicine just for the sake of avoiding lawsuits, but you have to protect people who do get harmed in the process. I was visited today by a family from Chula Vista whose son was improperly diagnosed at age 2 and had a brain aneurysm which blinded him and left him in a wheelchair for his whole life. And The hospital completely messed it up, and you have to give that family some recourse to make up for this incredible tragedy that occurred. He can't work, and he can't, and he's he has to be cared for totally by the family. But under California law, there's not a lot of a compensation for that. So you got to find a balance between the consumer making sure the consumer has some recourse, and that the medicine doesn't get, the costs don't get out of hand. So we will set up some mechanisms, I think, to try to get a firmer hand on that in this current health care bill. We have time, I'm told, for one more call. Tony?
Bob, we have Nancy on the line from Chula Vista.
Nancy, hi. You're going to be the last call tonight. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Nancy.
Oh, okay. Actually, it was my husband that wanted to make this call.
Okay.
I was on earlier.
Okay.
But anyway, what my husband wanted to know is why the media keeps saying that Medicare is free and we pay a premium every month out of our Social Security check.
Well, because people don't understand enough and we haven't explained it enough. Not only are you paying a premium, and there's also some co-payments, and everybody who's working has paid into the Medicare system for all their working life. I mean, it's a big... It's a big part of your deductions when you are working. So, yes, we have paid for Medicare, and we have to make that more clear and so people understand what's going on with it. I do appreciate the chance to talk to as many of you as I want. There, if there's a question that I didn't get to, you will be called, I think, and get a you'll get a way to get that question into us, and we'll try to answer it for you personally or by mail, and I appreciate all the your involvement in being informed and look forward to talking to you again. This is Congressman Bob Filner saying good night to everybody. Thank you.